Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Barbecue Shop Talk. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Barbecue Shop Talk right here on BarbecueSuperstars.com. I always invite you to go out and like us on Facebook at Barbecue Shop Talk, or you can go directly to our website, BarbecueShopTalk.com, or you can call in tonight and talk with us and our guest at 347-202-0263. Again, that's 347-202-0263. Sponsors of this week's show is Hotspot Graphics, Patrick Carlson down in Valdosta, Georgia. He does some logos for us, and he created the Barbecue Shop Talk logo as well. Does a lot of illustrations. Anything you would need some help with on graphics, he's the man to call. Alex Hay with IT Integrations does all five of our websites, including the Barbecue Shop Talk that he's updating right now, and the Smoke and Coals as well. And also Pirate 50 Artwork. Dale Wilson up in, I think it's Murphy, North Carolina, does a lot of great artwork trophies. If you have a contest and you're a promoter and looking for a special trophy, he is definitely the person to call. And if you're a cook team looking for one of those cool little yard signs you've seen out there, or site signs, both Tim and I both got ours from Dale at Pirate 50 Artwork. Just Facebook him, pop right up for you. Next week's guest, Gray Sales, Jennifer Bailey Bergen, will be here on the 28th, and she'll be continuing her progress on social media here, and not just here, but all around the world, I guess. And we're going to end that up on April 4th with our business lunch and throwdown between Tim, myself, and Brad K. We'll all be coming to Columbia here to do a little throwdown down at 302 Senate Street. Business lunch, we'll have wings, I believe, and we're going to compete in a rib throwdown. So that is going to be a lot of fun for us, I think, and everyone that's there. Last time Jennifer put a business lunch on like that, she had about 300 people. We're going to do it totally through Twitter and Facebook and our radio show here. So if you're in town or can be in town that day, we'd love to have you come out. And we're going to kick it down to Tim.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Barbecue Shop Talk. Let's check the SCBA calendar as we do every week. Our first event of the season is this weekend. It's in Port Royal, South Carolina, at the Band Brews and Barbecue. I'm all packed up, ready to go. Got all the firewood inside the truck covered up. I understand it might be a little rainy weekend. But nonetheless, should be some great barbecue. Last I checked, I think 35-plus teams will be out there this weekend, and some of the best teams in the state. So grab an umbrella, come on out, and come and join us on Friday night for the chicken wing contest. And then we'll have a pulled pork and rib contest, and we'll be serving our pulled pork barbecue to the public on Saturday. So don't let a little bit of rain keep you away. I understand last year was a great event, and I'm looking forward to a fun time down there this weekend. Next up will be March 15th to 16th at Sumter County Fairgrounds, a second annual benefit barbecue for the Boy Scouts, worthy cause. So come out there and get some great barbecue and help a worthy cause as well. Looking at the Hub City Hog Fest, friends with these guys on Facebook, they're adding teams every day, so this looks to be a really great event. If you're interested, contact Cal Wicker. You can go to the events tab on the South Carolina Barbecue Association website and get some more information. And rounding out March is the Horse and Hog and Barbecue Cook-Off in downtown Aiken on Newberry Street. So you can contact Dwayne Jones and get some more information on their great contest. I will be in Aiken myself with that contest. So come on by, pull up a chair, open a cold beer. We'll be glad to talk to you a little bit about barbecue. And if you also got a lot of contests coming through April, so never too late to send the event organizers a little courtesy email to let them know you're interested, request an application, and kind of give them a heads up on who's coming to their events this year. I know it's going to be a great time. So looking forward to a great weekend, Mark.
Yeah, I've got a couple things I missed. I was losing my voice there, thought I would shift it off to you for a little bit. National Barbecue Festival is finishing their week of festivities up here this Saturday. And right now they've got the contest going on for the sauces and rubs, so we're hoping to get a text or something from Daryl here pretty soon, but we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. We wanted to also mention a Shop Talk class that's coming up. you and I will be doing out at the farmer's market, partnering with the South Carolina Pork Board. March 3rd, we'll have a rib class. April 7th, we'll also have a, April 7th will be the rib class. And mm-hmm. then 12th, we'll have a mother-daughter class. June, we'll have a guys class and then a start your own team in July. So if you're looking to start your own barbecue team, I just want to find out some more information. Already you've begun a little bit. I'd encourage you to come out. Tim is a wealth of information, and we also have some financial folks coming in to let you I know a little more about that side of the business as well. And I want to invite everybody up to a special event up in Simpsonville. I'm trying to give a long shout-out for this so you can make plans to be there. May 10th and 11th at Heritage Park in Simpsonville is Bova Nova. And that is where you probably seen it on a Man Fire Food last year on the Cooking Channel. They do an entire butterfly cow, llamas, pigs, chickens, goats, lambs, and turkeys. And Randall Knight of Nard's Barbecue, along with Sid, or two of the chief cooks up there. And Randall is actually on our sponsored by Smoking Coals and Buzz's Butt Dust. So. He's invited us up. We'd love to see a bunch of listeners come up, and I don't know if Tim's going to be able to be up there or not, but maybe our first guest up, Jeff Urso, can make it. Jeff, how are you doing tonight?
I am fantastic. How are y'all?
Doing great. Doing great.
Doing good.
One of our favorite guests here. Sorry it took us 6 or 7 months to get you back on again, Jeff. But
no, that's quite all right. That's quite all right. I'm a patient man, but I'm actually definitely trying to go to Seneca. I want to see a butterfly cow over an open fire pit. I think that would be awesome and amazing.
Absolutely. I talked to Randall about that yesterday, and they've been a part of it since its inception, and it's pretty neat. I've seen a little bit of it on TV, but I said I want to come up and see it in person. So we've got an invite. You're welcome to ride up with me and Daniel. I think that'll be a fun day on Saturday. He said it fed about 900 people, I think it was last year. So
that just blows my mind. So yeah, I'm definitely trying to make that work. So, I'm actually really looking forward to the classes y'all have coming up as well. I was in JT's class this past Saturday, the barbecue class, and learned so much from it. If any listeners ever get a chance to hear JT talk, he's really entertaining and a wealth of information. I learned so much, just little tricks of the trade that you just hadn't really thought of, and all of a sudden, you know, he throws out this little suggestion, and it just makes something that could be complicated or something that where you may make a mistake, it makes it so much easier. So just kind of stealing all of his good ideas.
Well, I appreciate that, Jeff, and the check is in the mail, buddy. So you did a great job on that. You read that perfectly.
I appreciate that. I want to make sure I got that out first. I know the later in the show I went, the less money it was going to be.
That's right.
I don't know if you're stealing anything because you've already paid for the class, right? But it was
a great class.
So.
And yeah, the food was great. Awesome people. So actually, I bought a smoker that day, which was great. And I'm gonna call Garland next week and buy a barbecue guru. So I'm gonna be ready to come out and compete and see if I can't beat JT every now and then.
Oh, come on out! We're glad to see you.
No, I'm just kidding. It was a really amazing class. I was actually talking to some friends of mine here in Columbia about that class as well as the classes y'all have coming up, and they actually have a group of 4 or 5 who want to start a competition team, and they are going to come to your start a competition class as well as Garland's next class. So, trying to get y'all some business.
We always appreciate that. We're looking forward to it. And like I said, Tim's been doing this a long time, so we're putting a manual together now. And, you know, take a common sense from pick a name all the way to the finances to what to really prepare for the class. So I think it's gonna be a great class. I wish I'd have had one. It would have made my first 3 or 4 competitions a whole lot more pleasant. So.
Well, you know, it seems like not to bash our state, I would never do that, but, you know, culinary is really kind of taking off here. You know, it's always been really strong in Charleston, but it seems to be really taking off here in the Midlands. And cooking classes are a place that you see that. And I know you and I talked a little bit over the weekend about the culinary programs at the high schools. And, you know, I wish they would have had things like that when I was coming through. But I know that there's, I believe there's, we talked about a program in Pelion. There's a brand new one in District 5 up in Chapin at a brand new center up there. I actually interviewed for that, for a position there this morning. Don't know if I'll get it and not really concerned with that, but just it's really awesome that people who are interested in cooking, or if it's a son or a child of somebody that goes to school who loves to cook, they can go in and actually start learning how to become a chef or how to become a cook, you know, starting in high school. And the facilities that where I was in this morning were state-of-the-art. I mean, they had video from the teacher that broadcast on televisions. They had, I think, 16 different cooking stations. You know, they spared no expense. And it was, it really was an impressive place. And so it kind of excites you about culinary in general. You know, barbecue obviously is a main part of that here in the South, but, you know, just from cooking and food in general, just to see that people are going to be starting early, and I can't wait to see what restaurants are going to pop up because of this.
Now, Tim is actually trained through a culinary school down in Charleston, so I'll let him weigh in a little bit. I know he's got a lot of subject matter on the subject, so go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, well, Jeff and I were actually talking about that this past weekend, and what a great opportunity I think it is for him, and certainly for the high school students in the area. I remember when I went through high school, I think it was middle school, we had a home ec course, but all the guys, we messed around behind the stove, and I think we did some soups, and I don't know, I think we, thinking back, it's been some year, I think we did a little lasagna or something, but it was, you know, it was set up in nothing like it is today, where you've got folks that have, you know, I mean, these state-of-the-art kitchens and all the equipment and stuff that they have available. We actually did a luncheon for the South Carolina Specialty Food Association not long ago, and we were able to use one of their satellite kitchens where they teach the culinarians in the school. You know, I don't want to use the term lunch lady anymore because I think it's kind of elevated beyond that now, but it's actually the culinarians in the school, and their kitchen was like state-of-the-art. I was like, man, I wish I had this. You know, out behind my house, I could do so much with it. So it looks like it's a great program, and I know you'd be really excited to get out there and be really energetic and do a great job for them.
Yeah, you know, and one thing that's really cool that I talked to the gentleman earlier, and I know you and I talked about it as well, is, you know, I know you teach a class down in Charleston where it's a barbecue class, you know, where you can actually go in and, you know, how awesome is that? I mean, not to toot your horn here a little bit more, but, I mean, you know, you are kind of a legend in barbecue in South Carolina, and kids going through culinary school could actually take a semester-long class with you. You know, I mean, if in a local high school that has a culinary program, to go out into the community, find chefs that are cooking, they're using fresh local products, bring them in and let them teach these kids how to use local products and how to cook Southern barbecue and the difference between, you know, a North Carolina sauce or a mustard-based sauce or a tomato sauce, so they can really understand the, not only the history, but, you know, why it is what it is. So it's just it's a great time to be in food in South Carolina. It really is.
Yeah, it's true, and I think the barbecue classes are really popular. The one I do, I think, because it's protein intensive, if that makes sense. Because when I went to culinary school, the first two or three, four semesters, you barely got to do anything with proteins because you're learning all your knife cuts, you're learning your safety sanitation, you're learning your basics, and you're learning your mother sauces and your roux and your soups and your stocks and the building blocks. You know, so the class that I do is actually only for second-year students. You know, they've already got the basics down, but it's great because the kids in my class, they always say they get the meat shakes every Monday because we do so much meat. You know, they walk in there, it's like, what's on the menu today, chef? We're like, okay. You know, I break my classes up into four teams, and team one, you're doing ribs. Team two, we got brisket, we got pork, we got, you know, we got two different types of shoulder, you know, doing a picnic shoulder, doing a Boston butt. And then we go through the history of why these cuts got their name and the usefulness of these cuts. And then I kind of give them a demo. And then I like to really turn them loose. Next week we're doing a barbecue appetizer class, and it's all going to be each team gets X amount of chicken wings. It's going to be a chicken wing throwdown. And then they've got to make barbecue apps to go with it, from you know, barbecue nachos to barbecue hors d'oeuvres or whatever they want to do. And I think it's great because you get a lot of, you get hands-on with a lot of proteins that you might normally get, like in other classes, because proteins, they cost a lot, you know, and You know, it's kind of hard to build a curriculum around it. And I'm just so lucky to have the backing and the support from the Culinary Institute of Charleston as an adjunct there. And they give me the guys who do the ordering there. They have great relationships with local purveyors, and it's turned out to be a great class. And to start that in high school level, I mean, I wish I'd have had it when I was in high school.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, the interesting thing is these kids are taking these barbecue classes, and they're taking them from you, and they get to go in here and experiment with, you know, injections, and they get to experiment with these things. Imagine what the competition circuit is going to look like 10 years from now when these kids who started in high school, they've got a culinary background, they understand how flavors should blend with each other. Imagine the flavors that are going to come out in barbecue 10 years from now when these kids move into, you know, into a competition circuit. That's the part that blows my mind. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, you're right, because one of the parts of the course that I do is I keep what's called a barbecue cook log. We talked about it a couple times here on the show, and for those folks listening, if you ever want to get a copy of it, send us a request on our email or on our Facebook, and I'll email it to you. But I've been competition since 2000, and I started my barbecue cook logs maybe about 02, 03. And I've kept them all through the years, and I can myself go back and say and look at what I was doing in 02, 03, 04, 05 and go, man, I can't believe I was doing that. And I see how much the flavor profiles and the skill set has changed over the years. And so you're exactly right. You know, I mean, I hope a lot of these kids, you know, go out, open their own restaurant, have a great time, but I hope they steer clear of the competition circuit because I don't get my butt whipped every weekend. You know, young lion meets old lion on the competition circuit. Because there's always a saying that I heard one time, the best food is not found in a restaurant, but it's found on the battlefield of competition, you know?
Right.
And, I think you're exactly right. And one thing I wanted to talk to you, too, about, Jeff, I know Mark had mentioned it earlier when we're doing the pre-show, but I understand that you've got a mobile catering kitchen and that you're doing some stuff with some insurance companies, maybe some disaster relief efforts and stuff. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that endeavor?
Yeah, the mobile kitchen actually is not up and running yet. It's an idea that I kind of I borrowed from somebody. It was done before and is not in existence anymore, but it is basically a mobile kitchen. It's a commercial kitchen in the back of an 18-wheeler. And it is used, it's disaster response. I mean, it's not a food truck like what people would think of. They would, you know, see a food truck on the side of the road and you stop off, you get a sandwich or something. A rolling mobile kitchen is something that you can feed 1,000, 1,200 people, three meals a day, forever. I mean, it's, you're taking a restaurant to a location. So if you have a Hurricane Sandy or Hurricane Hugo or Hurricane Katrina or Andrew that comes in and just completely destroys an area, first of all, the people have to eat. And so in addition to the displaced people, residents, the workers have to eat. You know, so, you know, power companies from all over the country send workers in to help, and volunteers come in, insurance companies come in to, you know, to start writing checks based on claims, and they have to eat. And so that's kind of the reason behind this. It's to build this large commercial kitchen in the back of an 18-wheeler. And so when, you know, hopefully, God forbid, it won't happen again, but the odds are that it will at some point in time. When it does happen, the phone rings and you crank up and you go and you respond and you're there to feed people. You know, it's not gourmet food. You know, it's a meat and two vegetables or a meat and three vegetables. You know, it's taking a trailer, you know, almost like your competition thing where you can cook a hog or you can cook 30 butts or something along those lines, but you're there to make sure the people can eat. So in addition to the large trailer, you actually have to have supporting vehicles to go along with it. It's almost like a caravan. You would have an extra trailer for dry storage as well as an extra freezer and refrigerator. You would have a trailer that's basically almost like a barbecue cooker. I kind of envision it to have something a big like hog cooker on the back with a couple of God, I just forgot the name. What's the name of the one I just bought Saturday?
Backwoods.
You know, maybe two or three of those along the side, a steamer in the middle, a sink, you know, outdoor pot, you know, boilers, you know, burners, you know, for large pots, And then the last thing is a water trailer, you know, a 500-gallon water trailer, because if you're in a disaster area, one of the things that you don't have is water. And so we would actually have a person that their job is every night is to go and find fresh water and be back before breakfast. So, you know, that, you know, sometimes you have to ship all that stuff in. So, you know, it's become a dream and a passion and an obsession of mine. But I've been in contact with a lot of the power companies along the Gulf Coast, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, all the way over to Louisiana. The insurance companies, they all have catastrophic response teams in contact with them, negotiating with them, you know, to get on their supplier list. You know, because all of them know that if something happens, you have to be willing to, you have to get food, there. So,
yeah, and I've got some experience with that with the police department, with different disaster relief and national emergencies. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than seeing, we had one train derailment, and I remember, it was Aiken, South Carolina, a while back. Mark, you may remember that. And it was a bad chemical spill, and we had first responders and cleanup crews out there for a long time. And,
right.
You know, and I mean, it was in one of these little towns where there's just not a support system there for responders, and, you know, to
right.
go and to set up and to know, you know, hey, you know, this is covered by the insurance company or however you're doing it, but it,
right.
you know, there's no money exchange in hand. There's no, you know, a lot of
yeah.
the red tape is all worked out where these first responders can just simply come to the window, get a meal, get some
right.
time off their feet, get refueled, get back out there helping people. I think it's a great idea, and, you know, it's
yeah,
something we really need.
Yeah, and, you know, the logistics, you know, I mean, obviously it's a company that, you know, will hopefully make a little bit of money, but, you know, when you're there, your job is to feed people. You worry about, you know, you worry about the bill later, you know, and it's especially if it's somebody that's displaced, who's lost everything. You know, when they show up and they haven't eaten in 3 days, your job is to sit them down there, get them something to drink, feed them, and then send them home with food, you know, food that won't spoil. You know. So it's something that I really hope I get the honor of doing. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I look forward to keeping up with you and seeing how it progresses and seeing how we can help as well.
Well, I mean, I you offered on Saturday that if the phone call ever came, you would come and cook. So I'm gonna hold you to that. I got you recorded offering. So.
Oh, absolutely, man. Hey, I love that. You know, I love that. You know, I like the rush of all right, we got 500 people, we got to get dinner for, man. Let's just start rolling, and then, you know,
right.
it's just. Everybody pitches in, and then, you know, just the satisfaction of feeding these folks who are putting their life on the line and
right.
and also leaving their families and working in hazardous situations is
right.
you know, it's a great time, so look forward to that.
Well, a guy that I grew up with and went to high school with and college with is a kind of a big wig at one of the food suppliers. I'm not going to say which one, but, and, you know, we've kind of got a friendly, you know, discussion over a couple of cold beers one night about, you know, okay, I'm going to do this. I need food. And his response to me was, wherever you are, you let me know, you give me an order, and, you know, and I'll have an 18-wheeler just pull up and drop a trailer, and I'll have them to you every day if you need it. You just, you know, you keep on calling in orders, and I'll keep on bringing you food. Don't worry about it. We'll worry about it at the end. So, you know, so that to me is the hard part. You know, if you can get food to you, and then you can cook it. So,
yeah, there's a lot of logistics that go behind it, and, you know, and you've got a lot of experience with that too. So it looks like it's going to be,
right.
It's really going to work out. I think it's going to be, a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe we get some condiments sponsored by Smoking Coals. Get you some sauce and rubs down there too. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to put Smoking Coals right on the back of the trailer. Everybody sees it going down the road.
We had somebody contact us from one of the food service companies last night trying to get us in the door there. He's got a bunch of firemen that use it, so he won't know if he can get it in gallons and 5 gallons. So, yeah, I told him we could get it any way he wanted to buy it. So
absolutely.
We would put as much as we could on the truck, and we'd make the same offer Tim did, and just to come down and help you out a little bit with that.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, that's it's exciting stuff. It really is. I hope that there's never a storm that hits, but, you know, history tends to repeat itself, and unfortunately another day is out there.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Backwoods Smoker that you bought this past weekend. I know you had an opportunity to see See them out there at the Cal Outdoor Cooking School, and you picked one up there. What's the first break-in cook you're going to do with it?
I'm going to cook a rib. I actually have not gone to pick it up yet. It's actually down in Sandy Run, and so I'm going to go and pick it up probably this weekend and bring it back, and I'm probably going to cook ribs the first time. I'm a ribs guy. I love ribs. And probably after that, I'll probably try a couple of butts. I don't know if I'm going to do briskets or not. I like brisket, but, I'm looking for something a little bit that's going to cook a little bit faster. But, I played with it a couple of times with Mark, and I like it with the barbecue guru. You know, I'm not a competition guy. I'm a home barbecuer, so I like the kind of the set it and forget it kind of settings that it has. It seems to be easy to use, and so I'm excited about it. I think I have a feeling I'm going to do probably 8 or 10 racks of baby back ribs. I think that's what I'm going to do first, and then I'm going to go into a meat coma trying to eat it all.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to have you back on, and maybe you can do a product review for us. Talking with Jeff and Larry from Smoke and Stacks. These guys are the premier dealers here in South Carolina for Backwoods, and these guys are always at the top of the heap in competition, and I know they do some catering as well, and the barbecue they had last week was awesome. So you're really going to enjoy that. I am a stick burner, and I do love my Alvarons as well for gas combo units for catering, but Backwoods is right there at the top of that's my top three, to be honest with you. You're going to love, the versatility that unit brings and the product that it turns out, especially for folks who, like I said, who have got other things going on in their life while they're barbecuing,
Right.
I mean, there's some purists like myself who have the time to sit around for 10 or 12 hours and just enjoy watching that fire burn. I love watching that fire in my lane. But like you said, once you put a guru on there and you get going, and you can be cutting the grass, cleaning the house, doing your honey-do list, and then you got some great food coming off there at the end of the day. And it was it's no fuss, and it's just high-quality barbecue. So I think you're going to be happy with it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting home and breaking it in. I'm building a new house, and I've already told the neighbors to be prepared for smoke every Saturday and Sunday. So they're all already planning street parties for all the food that's going to come out.
Oh yeah, and that's the way it works in our neighborhood. Luckily, I've got some great neighbors, and they don't mind being smoked out all the time. I keep them fat and happy on barbecue, so it's kind of a good trade off.
Absolutely.
I had neighbors before who had these like championship huskies, and they were like the most beautiful dogs. And you could see every time I was like out cooking, all the smoke was just, I lived really close to them, where our subdivision was, and all the smoke was going to our yard. And it's like, your barbecue smoke is getting in our dog hair. And I'm like, you're welcome.
No
I said, I'm not going to charge you for it.
That's right. So, smells like cherries and pecans.
That's right. That's right.
That smells good.
But, they were in the military, so they got transferred, so it all worked out. And then some great neighbors moved and bought their house, and they loved the smoke, so it worked out pretty good.
Right. So how many competitions are you going to do this year, JT?
I try not to post anything political or negative on my Facebook page. It's kind of my forum, on this radio show to kind of vent. And I'm real close to posting when gas hits 375, the cookers are parked, because – I don't know what's going on with these gas prices and everything, and everyone just kind of seems to stand around and just take it. And, you got some grumbling, but nobody ever does anything about it. For some reason, it seems like we're all just accustomed to gas prices being this high. And when they're around 330, 340, we're like, oh, okay, ooh, they went back down. They're low now. And 330, 340 is crazy,
Right.
But, I mean, I've seen it. I just filled up last night, I drove all the way to Sam's Club to get my fuel discount to fill the truck up, and I'm not going to be able to do a lot of traveling if it's above 375. Now, I know there's folks who are west of me, I think California maybe at almost $5 a gallon, who are probably,
It's all relative.
Yeah, but exactly. It's relative to where you are and to the money you make. So I don't know, to be honest with you, to answer your question. I've got a few that I've already paid for that I'll definitely be going to, but if it doesn't come down, and I'm going to take a hard look at how many competitions. I was going to do the points chase in the SCBA this year, but I don't think I'm going to because I've got so much going on with classes and with different catering events and the classes with Barbecue Shop Talk. So I think I'm going to kind of scale it back a little bit. And I was talking to my wife last night. I said, I think I used to do competitions to, because, you know, it was like part of the almost my income, really. I mean, I was doing 30-something a year, so I was really into it. I said, I think I'm going to do them this year kind of as my entertainment, you know, where I'm not pushed against. I don't mind, you know, being pushed up against the clock, you know, for a 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock turn-in. But, you know, when you're doing catering or classes, it's a little bit different. You know, you feel that pressure. But, so I think I'm going to do the contest as kind of my escape, just to actually sit, breathe out, exhale, and enjoy doing the competition, turn it in, and then, you know, let the chips fall where they may, and then, you know, do my catering and stuff during and classes during the week. So,
yeah, I know what you mean by the gas prices, and not to get political either, but I own another company that offers detection dogs, like gun detection, drug detection dogs to schools. And I travel all over the state doing that, and I'm the same way, you know, because it's expensive to drive, you know, to Anderson and back in a day, or Charleston and back, or Myrtle Beach and back, and you know, my car with the dogs in the car has to sit running all day long.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so it's, you know, at some point it's like, well, every dollar that I make is going into the gas tank, so I might as well just sit at home. So it's a tough decision. It really is, but I feel your pain.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jeff, it's been great talking to you tonight. Always great cooking with you. Had a great time seeing you last weekend. Look forward to keeping up with you, see how the backwoods are going. Also, your mobile food unit for your disaster relief and keeping track with you. And also love talking UFC with you, too. So look forward to maybe catching a fight with you one day, you know, whether we catch it on pay-per-view or something. But
Ronda Rousey's fighting Saturday night. So
yeah.
I judged a couple of hers in Vegas when she was an amateur. So
did you? Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I saw today, and I know we're hitting right up against our time here, but I saw they cut maybe 15 some fighters. I know John Fitch is at the top of the list. I saw a lot of them got cut today. Just trying to make room, I think, for some new female champions coming in, female fighters, and Strikeforce folks coming over. So
They got Strikeforce folks, and you know, it's booming. They're bringing in fighters from all over the world, and you know, and what you're going to see happen is you're going to see another organization pop up because there's really good fighters that are being released that can't be held on the rosters of the UFC. So that's going to be really interesting to see what organization kind of pops up and starts to challenge a little bit.
Well, looking forward to it. Jeff, always a pleasure. We're going to say goodnight to you, and thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Take care, Tim. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Mark, it looks like that's our show. Before we go, just want to let everybody know we do have a new website for you to check out. It's under construction right now, but should be completed within the next week, and that's going to be my personal website, which back up, change the domain name. It's going to be www.jthbbq.com. That's jthbbq.com. You can go there to get all of the latest information on where I'll be, competition, classes, and catering, as well as some barbecue tidbits, some funny stories, and some great photos. So we'll attach it and maybe put a link on our Barbecue Shop Talk page. You can come and find me.
Absolutely, we will. Always great having Jeff on. We have to invite him back maybe next week or week after to fill in the end part of the show and let him tell us a little bit about his canine training as well. Man of many talents and wears a lot of different hats. So it's always exciting to have him on. And I think we're going to kick it out of here with a little bluegrass right now. See you folks next week. Good night.
Good night, folks.